You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
No, that's not what I'm saying, but I am saying that if any one of us is allowed to go on an anti-Semitic tirade, it's probably you.
Whoa.
Oh, shit, I hit record. Greetings, friends. It's Joe Thrash and Kill. It's another episode of Toilet of Hell Radio, where we talk about metal and metal-related objects. I'm Joe. We subscribe. Do the tell a friend Patreon. Anyway, hey, I'm with 365 Days of Horror and Brenicide. How's it going, guys?
Good. For some reason, despite all of my best efforts, I'm still going to the gym every week.
Tight.
And I'm very tired. Yeah, everything hurts.
Cool. I hurt my back again for like the ninth time in a couple of years, so I've stopped going.
Yeah, what was it, doing deadlifts?
I did it again where I was like, yeah, no, I know that I'm prone to hurting myself here, but let's go ahead and add another 50 pounds that I don't need to add to this.
Yeah. It's like I don't know. Deadlifts seem to be everything against what every spinal doctor has told everybody in all the history of like spinal medicine. It's like a jerk and twist sort of.
Well, that's not okay. My form needs help, obviously, because I'm still hurting myself. But I believe that there's value in it, even though my doctor was like, please stop doing this.
Do you use a weightlifting belt?
No, I really should, too.
Yeah, those sick-ass championship belts.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you can get one of the bros at the gym to spot you. Maybe, you know, hold you real tight and make sure you're doing well, bro.
I've never seen anyone be spotted in a deadlift, but I imagine that you would be, like, just straight up, like, dick in the butt, like, holding on to somebody's waist.
Right.
So I'm into it. Any gym bros out there. Actually, at my gym the other day, I saw a kid in a Flenser shirt, which I just thought to myself, if like there's one type of extreme metal fan, it'd be like a Flenser fan who would not be going to the gym. That's an indoor kid.
Yeah. He wakes up every day. Last time I went, there was like a this like super sculpted dude that just wore this black hood over his head the whole time, and we've seen him there a couple times. We just call him Muscles Jedi now. And
it's always weird to see people working out in like full like hoodies and sweatpants, and I know they're trying to like sweat a lot, but it's always just like, don't you feel gross?
Yeah. Well, I guess the thing with bodybuilding competitions is to get that cut looking, you got to dehydrate yourself seriously.
Yeah, but you don't dehydrate yourself that seriously until just before the competition. Otherwise, you're just miserable the entire time, and you're not able to lift anything because you need that hydration to lift. My lady did a bodybuilding competition a couple of years ago, and it just seems so fucking miserable.
Like, yeah, it's awful.
You can't drink. You can't eat anything. You're always tired, and then like right before the competition, you're just dehydrating the hell out of yourself, and then you get a disgusting brown ass spray tan everywhere.
who are some of the buffest metal dudes right now that we can think of?
The buffest metal dudes?
Yeah, we got Andy Williams from
he's super buff. I die. I haven't seen a recent picture of Will Romer from Mortician in a while, but he's always been pretty big.
Yeah. Didn't Alice Cooper used to have like a super jacked guitar player? Like,
yes.
I'm talking and fitness level.
Yeah, there's some really great artwork of that guy like holding guns and stuff, just like flexing them necessarily. I can't remember his name, and I'm not going to Google it. Readers, listeners, whoever is having to listen to this, if you know the name of that real buff guitarist that played in Alice Cooper's band, please send us an email or leave a comment below, or leave us a voicemail.
He didn't play with a pick either. I remember he was just like strumming with his thumb, like he didn't know what he was doing.
His meaty sausage fingers.
Right, but he was still playing great. So
I got mad respect for people that like can play any kind of metal finger style. That's wild. Because you know you're trying to hit those 16th and 32 notes and stuff. That's difficult to do.
Yeah, usually if I can't find a pick, I'll just use like the nail on my pointer finger and do a terrible job.
I've been playing my my acoustic entirely with my front three fingers. Those are the good ones. Yeah.
And it's instead of the back three finger.
Yeah, I haven't figured those out yet, but we'll get there one day. Who else is really swole?
The vocalist from Harm's Way.
Oh yeah, yeah, he's mega meat.
The vocalist from Texas Hippie Coalition.
Yeah, no, yeah. That guy's got a whole his core. You can tell he's so powerful. Just the way that all of
the way he can balance a whole family meal on his stomach.
It's the difference between a bodybuilder and a power lifter. You know, a bodybuilder is all about aesthetics. You're gonna see every crevice in his six pack, but with a power lifter, you know, he needs to have a little bit of fat reserve over his belly so that he's able to like summon more power to lift more things. Texas Hippie Coalition guy, power lifter par excellence.
I'm sure he has no trouble lifting the pool table by himself.
Every time he gets out of bed in the morning, it's a power lift.
You fucking burnt, dude, from Texas Hippie Coalition. I mentioned it.
Do you think he's pissed off and mad about it?
Why don't you write a song about it, pal? You know, back in the day, Phil Anselmo was pretty cut. And then, you know, life happened.
And heroin.
And heroin, yeah. I don't think heroin is one of those essential building blocks of muscle building. I think it might deter you a bit.
It's not part of a balanced breakfast?
No, probably not. Probably
orange juice, toast, some fruit, heroin.
Maybe in my neck of the woods it is.
I think it's everywhere.
Yeah,
that whole...
the whole epidemic, I guess they call it these days.
Yeah, the opioid epidemic related to...
Everything will be fine. Jared Kushner's working on it. Everything will be okay.
So he fixed the Middle East already, did he?
Yeah.
Cool. Great job, Jared.
Props to Jared.
Yeah, come on our show. So this week I'll be totally honest for anybody that's bothering to listen to this episode. We didn't have like anything in the queue, so I did a lot of writing, just shit that came to my mind at the last minute. And you know what? Despite the fact that I was just really winging it, I feel like I hit a couple of good ones. I wrote this piece about how to make more black metal friends on Facebook.
Yeah, it's a good one.
It's something that I guess it's been in the back of my mind for years, and I've never really thought about it too hard, that all of these people have the exact same profile and they interact with each other in the exact same way online. And, you know, honestly, they're probably already Facebook friends with each other. So I just wanted to, like, go on like a Cletus safari, you know, dig through some profiles, see some weird things, screenshot some people's private info, and then share it with the rest of the internet. But yeah, so what I did was I went to you've heard of the band Malath or M8LT8H or whatever the fuck it is.
Mate late. Yeah.
They're Ukrainian Nazis, and you know how like a lot of bands are like, no, we're not Nazis, we just, you know, we have sun wheels everywhere and we believe in the true gods of the Norse or whatever the fuck. They're like, yeah, no, we're totally Nazis. And somehow they're able to have a public Facebook profile with like 20,000 fans. They post pictures all the time where like they're attending like militia seminars where it's all these buff dudes holding like M16s, listening to a lecture from some, you know, not anti-Semitic war criminal from some Chechen fucking state that doesn't exist anymore. Anyway, I decided to go through and look at the list of people that liked that band on Facebook, and then dove into their profiles, and that was how your sausage was made on that one.
Yeah,
it was a lot.
How long did you look at those? Because I've sort of done something similar in the past, and I hit a point where I get like physically nauseous and exhausted just from looking at all these terrible people. How long did you last?
So I meant to bust this one out as a pretty quick post, but I was having such a good time doing this that I let it go on for a while. I posted the picture on Twitter, but I don't know if you guys saw it or not, but the Fountainhead for... So I was going through the Malathe people, but really it all came from the friends list of one guy that liked Malathe, and I'm sure the other ones did too, but it all came from this one guy because I was just obsessed with it. Just this really pathetic middle-aged dude with a Hitler mustache, bald... who all of his pictures on Facebook were selfies taken with the webcam of a library computer. You can see people like picking up books behind him, and meanwhile he's adding like anti-communist stickers over his pictures of him taken in the library.
He didn't even have the wherewithal to like put them over the people picking up books in the back.
Yeah, exactly. If you've ever wondered, like, who are these dirtbags browsing porn in the library? Well, there's your guy.
Yeah, there he is. Guilty.
Everything was from his friends list. There's a lot of, I'm not sure if it's the PC term for this, but black metal thirst traps on Facebook. Which are women who are basically just like taking in nothing but like super, super inappropriate photos with like swastikas all over the place. And the replies to all their photos, it's, oh my God. It's like, 6666, I love you so much. Please come to, Poland.
Yeah. Bratislava.
Yeah.
Brazil.
And what was good about your article is that if you've spent any time in metal and any time on social media, you've come across these people.
Oh, yeah.
And they're always just the worst, stupidest, most heinous people.
Yeah, and they're pretty openly, like, if not Nazi, white supremacists, too, with all the 88 shit that they throw around.
Yeah.
68686 is a new one for me. Heil
6868. Yeah, that was clever.
I'm gonna hold on to that one. It's my new like stab this link to get more info.
Yeah, and it's like never. They always want to try to like drag you into a real debate, but the first thing they say is always the dumbest thing in the whole world. So it's never worth doing anything except making fun of them savagely.
Yeah, no, that's the thing about internet culture though, is that people are really invested in getting you to debate their asinine views. And sometimes, you know, sometimes debate is a thing that is necessary and it can be illuminating for both parties. You're never going to have a life-enriching debate with an internet Nazi. It's never going to happen. And so they demand things of you. They demand facts and figures. They demand you to continue to engage with them. And the best way to shut that down is make demands of them. Like, post a picture of your asshole right now or we won't continue this debate.
Right. Yeah. Usually it's just their face and that's enough.
Yeah.
I've been in that conversation and I like called it out before it even happened. I was like, okay, here's the thing where you start posting articles of the race that you're berating right now doing the things that are criminal, and you think that that's sufficient evidence to write off the entire population of them.
Yeah.
And then
what
he
about
just
Chicago?
Right. And then he just proceeded to do it, and I and made demands that I put some sort of facts to prove otherwise, and it was like, what do you want me to do? You want me to post like a black family at church? Like what could I possibly do here to end this conversation in a way that would satisfy you? I don't know. Don't argue with people online. That's the thing. Yeah. Just don't even engage. Yeah. Block everybody immediately. Have that block button hot and ready to go.
Yeah. Make fun of them until it's no longer fun for you and then move on.
Yeah. The mute button is really nice too.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So that way they don't even get the satisfaction of knowing they're blocked. They just keep shouting into the void.
Maybe I should just open it up and let people publish whatever they want on Toilet of Hell, you know?
Oh, yeah. My God. That'd be the worst thing ever. We've gotten some bad submissions.
We've gotten some extremely bad submissions. I think... I think... Especially in the early days, I would spend hours and hours and hours essentially like rewriting like a really piece of shit submission. I don't have the time to do that anymore. So I've been less open to taking in things that are bad to start. So that's really cut down on the number of new submissions we've got. I guess that's to our detriment. I mean, what do we have to lose by publishing bad things, right?
Yeah, quality over quantity, you know. Less is more sometimes. Some of these sites, just so they can get as many clicks as possible, they're just put out hundreds of posts a day. So if you got a couple good ones, it's better than, you know,
so we get,
overloading people with crap.
We get pingbacks sometimes from these obscure little metal sites that essentially, it looks like what they do is they have a bot that basically copies and pastes like whatever you wrote and includes a link back to you at the end of it. There's a lot of them. And I just,
yeah.
I wonder, like, what are you getting out of this? How much traffic could you possibly be getting to, like, make this a worthwhile thing that think that you're doing with your time? Because, I mean, Breno, you know yourself, like, ad revenue is pretty sparse.
Oh, yeah.
You got to put up big numbers to, like, make it worthwhile. And, like, I have never heard of any of these little fucking things. Like, surely they can't be making more than a couple of bucks a month.
That's on Metal averaged about $20 a month.
Yeah.
Total. At my fucking peak, and I was ecstatic about it.
Ad revenue. It's apparently a broken way to try to build the internet.
Yeah. Not to mention that I don't know if it's the same way as it was then, but back then, Google AdSense would not send you any money until you hit your $100 mark.
I think it works the same way now.
Yeah. So it's like I would make $20 a month. And then month would go by. And then I actually at one point collected $200 for a couple good months. And then Google AdSense canceled at me at the last minute because somebody bitched about how I told people to click on my ads. And even though I tried to argue it, it just wasn't true. And they still just decided, we've reviewed this and, you know, no one's reviewing it. It's all automated. So robots decide whether or not that, you know, you should have your living. So, that didn't go anywhere.
What a piece of shit narc. Who the fuck did that? Yeah, no, the thing is with AdSense, like, it's basically a one strike and you're done thing. You can't do it again. Like, they will cancel your shit. You can't rebuild from there.
Yeah. Until I found out you just use a different Gmail address and you're fine.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. The whole ads and traffic revenue thing, it doesn't work for anybody. It hasn't worked for a long time. It seems like somebody smarter than us should probably figure out another way to monetize the internet.
Patreon seems pretty good, but you know, it's hard to get people to buy the cow when they can get it for free, you know?
Yeah, that's fair. One of the guys, one of the founders of Patreon, Jack Conti, he has a band, and you guys will probably remember this because it was an article that went viral. He was writing about how he toured with this band and he lost money. The band was called Pamplemousse. If you look into the numbers of it, it's like they were staying at hotels every night. They had hired a full band. They had a light show with them. Like, he was spending his money so stupid, like he could have made a bunch of dough with it. Anyway, one of my coworkers put on a Pamplemousse song on the work stereo the other day, and it was so fucking bad I considered canceling our Patreon.
Did it sound exactly like a band named Pamplemousse would sound?
So what they do is, it's this guy, and I think it's his wife, they do covers of, you know, top 40 songs, just in a more twee way. It was a cover of Cyndi Lauper's Time After Time. I don't give a fuck who you are. That's a great song. Like, it's just really, really great song. And they altered it where they were putting, like, diminished minor chords where there should not have been. And it was just, it was a very loungy type thing. And it just sucks so fucking hard that I'm mad at Patreon.
For those who don't know, and I'm so cultured in the world to have, you know, owned cans of La Croix. Pamplemousse is French for grapefruit.
Yes, it's the pretentious way of saying fucking grapefruit.
See, just an entire race of pompous people.
All right, I'm gonna start a change.org petition that requires Pamplemousse change their name to grapefruit.
It's a good use of your time.
I mean, yeah, I can't think of anything better to do.
I mean, it would be as worthwhile as anything that's ever been done from change.org.
Yeah, yeah.
That's true.
If you ever gone through and, like, looked at the recent,
Right, but if it's, like, I would like someone to send me a link, and I'm not saying this as like a challenge to say it's not true. I'm just genuinely curious. I want someone to send me a link of some sort of evidence that an online petition has done anything, accomplished anything. Has there's any point in history where that happened? I'm curious to know, just because I've never heard about it. I've gotten all sorts of them emailed to me from friends, family, coworkers, random bots, just emailing me these change.org petitions, like. Stop the pipeline, et cetera, et cetera. And what do? You hand a billion signatures to somebody and they could just put it in a trash can. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's more just a symbolism thing. Here's 100,000 signatures to stop whatever. Yeah, oh, okay, we're going to vote for it anyway.
Yeah. Powerful oligarchy, please, all of us peasants agree that we would like to stop being poisoned. And they'll be like, no. That's not
Master, works. As you can see, we slaves have written on a piece of paper that we want the lashings to stop.
Yeah. It's like, well, thank you. We'll take this under consideration, and no.
I think the only real way those things sort of work is when it's not actually important. It's just kind of like pop culture or movie related. We want this character to be like this in your movie, and you know, articles get written and there's a little online thing and it's easy enough to go like, yeah, okay, fine. We'll do whatever you want. And then everyone's happy and goes sees the movie or at least stops complaining.
We have 2 million signatures saying this character should be white like he's supposed to be.
Exactly.
Do you guys want to see some of the recent change.org petitions?
Sure, man.
Okay. let's see. The very newest one right now. Already has 5 signatures. Major League Baseball, remove the nets above the baseball dugouts and down the line.
add me to that. Can you make sure I sign that?
Just kill people. Yeah. Right. Just take the bat, walk into the stands, just start whacking people in the head while we're at it.
Listen, the fans demand dingers. We want to see you sock some goddamn dingers.
Huge dongs all the time.
Stroke those dongs. Another recent one, Shrek should be an anime.
Sign my name to that. I want that one too. I want Shrek as an anime and I want no safety nets.
Ban voring. I don't know if you guys know what voring is, but you can Google it on your own time.
Ban voring as in... like the fetish for vor?
Yes, that would be correct.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, leave people alone. Let them draw, My Little Ponies eating each other. It's fine.
Is it fine?
Yeah.
You know, as a person who consumes a lot of trash all day, every day, and I wonder how it affects my, mental health.
Yeah.
Is it a good idea to allow that?
It's great. You don't like it?
Tell me more.
Kidding. It's a joke, guys. Hey, it's Brett Aside, man, making his jokes.
So tell us more about your message board.
All right. So what it is, it's not about eating people, like Cannibal Corpse albums. It's like just being consumed in its entirety, like a snake would do. And that's the fetish, I guess.
So do you remember the case of that German cannibal?
Yes,
I do.
I want to say his name was Heinz, but that might be racist.
Hans or Franz, something like
yeah.
That.
Sauerkraut.
Anybody that doesn't recall, I'm going to do my best to piece this together. basically, Cannibal was like fishing on Craigslist to find somebody to eat. And this guy was like, you know, all my life, I've always wanted to be eaten. Definitely one of those guys that had that vor fetish, but like real bad. Like he wanted to be IRL eaten AF.
That's a sick Bloodbath song.
IRL eaten AF.
No, it's, I think it's just eaten. And it's like, you're like reciting the lyrics word for word as opposed, you know, without the AF part.
Oh, okay. I assume that lots of bands have written about this particular case. But yeah, I mean, like, it was...
I want you to suck my guts and lick my heart. It's a great song.
His name was Armin Muse. So anyway, it was a consensual act of cannibalism. Like, he came over to his place and, like, they signed, like, a little agreement. Muse chopped off the dude's dong, which they both agreed to, and they both tried to eat it together. And then, you know...
Did they try to eat it like a Lady and the Tramp style?
Like the kiss at the end of it? Oh, that's the funniest fucking thing I've ever heard. Like, I can't even laugh. It just broke my funny fuse. Oh, that's so funny.
So, yeah, you know, he, like, killed the guy and ate him and stuff. Yeah, Bloodbath wrote the song Eaten about it. Marilyn Manson said it was an inspiration in titling his album Eat Me, Drink Me. And Rammstein released the song Mein Teil, which specifically references the case.
I was thinking of a different case. I was thinking about a guy who was into vor, and he didn't actually... I mean, I don't think he committed any of the crimes he was being tried for, but he had, like, this crazy dungeon that he built in his basement, and he had, like, all these plans written out to, like, kidnap and eat children.
Oh,
and
is that that cop in New York? The cannibal cop?
It might have been, but he had, like, I don't know, some insane, like, children's pajamas on, like... a chicken or something, like a roasted chicken, and he was eating it. Insane shit like that. And it was just like his defense lawyer was trying to push to everybody that this vor stuff was all fantasy and he never was going to do anything. But yeah, juries weren't so kind.
Yeah, people are a little put off by the whole eating other people thing.
We were talking about this past week, we think of writing something for May the 4th, and I had the idea of starting a change.org position to have Mortis put into a Star Wars movie.
You should.
Do you think that would get some signatures?
I think he deserves it, you know? I don't know if he's a big fan of Star Wars or not, but I think he deserves the recognition, at least.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if he likes it. He just looks like he'd be a character in one of the movies.
Wouldn't that be so funny if enough people signed... a petition that they wanted somebody in a movie, and whether the person wanted to be in the movie or not, they then had to be in the film.
By law, change.org.
Right.
These armed guards keeping on set.
There should be a third world country that just specifically only has laws based on change.org petitions.
I'm into it. I also think that's probably the way that we should elect politicians. Like, everyone chooses. The politician has no choice in the matter himself. Probably would prefer not to be. But he's not allowed to leave at gunpoint.
That's what they did with... oh, man, I'm blanking on his name. The Norwegian black metal guy who's very... Fenris.
Yeah.
He became the mayor or something because he had a picture with a cat.
Yeah, it said, don't vote for me. Which, you know, brilliant reverse psychology.
Yeah, well, that's the don't at me of the real world. It's like, well, of course I'm going to now. Yeah.
Okay, hot take. Every time someone says don't at me on Twitter, I'm just like, you obviously need attention.
Yeah. Here's that attention.
You clearly want people to talk to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Usually I say that and then people just don't. But I think that's just how it is on Twitter. No one talks to me.
I'm just going through more of these fucking petitions and becoming more and more distraught with the nature of things. Ashley Burris has a petition. U.S. House of Representatives. Schools should teach creation as well as evolution. I don't know. I'm pretty sure they already do, man. That's why my education sucks so bad.
While we're back on the Twitter thing and trying to get attention, I always think it's so funny when you got this guy who's just like – feeling pretty lonely right now. And then the only comment he gets is from some other dude, just like, hey, what's going on, bro? Are you okay? Here's the non-female attention that you didn't mean to order.
It's a swing and a miss, swing and a miss.
That's right. Do your best next time.
Planned Parenthood, turn all babies into robots.
Signed.
Ban Drake from attending NBA games.
I'm okay with that.
Signed. And ban that fucking clap gif too, if I say that one more time.
Wait, ban what?
The Drake standing up at an NBA game clapping.
Oh, every reaction gif needs to be fucking outlawed. Yeah. I hate clicking on a news story on Twitter and just seeing every reply is some fucking idiot, like with
Beyonce rolling her eyes or something.
Yeah, it's always like some middle-aged white woman that's replying with like a gif of a black woman like doing an epic clapback or some shit. It's just like, this is the worst, and it's actually kind of racist.
Yeah, it's like digital blackface. I do it all the time. I'm very reaction jiffy, but I try to be obnoxious about it. Like, I try to get things that are just so obviously pop culture outside of anything I would ever enjoy. Like, just, I don't know, Parks and Rec or some popular rom-com, or, you know, I'll react in a way that I think an 11-year-old girl would react. with one of those default GIFs, like the first three or so. I try to challenge myself. The higher up on the list, the better.
Here we go. These are two back-to-back. Donald Trump, Hitler should be on the $10 bill. Followed by the government and possibly Montana, euthanize and remove the fedora people.
Signed.
Yeah.
Specific.
So, another thing, when we were crunched for time this week, I was driving to work, and I decided to listen to the Dumb and Dumber soundtrack on Spotify, because I love that soundtrack. And I got to my office and I realized there was absolutely nothing in the queue of WordPress for our site. So I decided to rank every song on the Dumb and Dumber soundtrack, and it was, you know, just one of those half-assed things to get out there at the last minute. And I was really surprised by how it had hit a chord with basically people of a very specific age range.
Our age range.
Yeah, I would say between like the ages of 30 and 34, like specifically that, dudes are like, yeah, that was a great soundtrack. And it dawned on me that like, soundtracks had a huge amount of cultural cachet just a few years ago, and it doesn't really exist anymore. Specifically with, like, the Dumb and Dumber soundtrack, like, I love Dumb and Dumber. I love the hell out of Kingpin. I kind of like There's Something About Mary, and I still kind of like Me, Myself, and Irene. Those are the first four movies that the Farrelly brothers did. And they all, in addition to being pretty funny, they all have like really great soundtracks. It seems like those guys have a real ear for like power pop and stuff like that. It's very pleasant. So I might do another ranking with the other big hitters in the Farrelly Brothers catalog. But it got me thinking, like, soundtracks in general. There were a handful that just had a huge, left a huge mark on people like in that same age demographic. And I'm thinking like probably the biggest, especially for dudes like us, might be The Crow. Do y'all remember that soundtrack?
I remember the movie. I don't really remember the soundtrack all that much. Wasn't it a lot of like sort of industrial type music?
Yeah. Yeah. The Cure wrote a song for it. It was a real good one. But there's also like Nine Inch Nails and Rage Against the Machine, Rollins Band, Helmet and Pantera. The Pantera one is actually a cover of a Poison Idea song, so that was kind of a cool deal. I love the movie and the soundtrack, but I feel like everyone that I knew growing up had that soundtrack.
The soundtracks have kind of fallen out of favor. Movies just don't have them anymore.
The only thing that I can think of that's actually like hit in the last many years is the Guardians of the Galaxy soundtracks.
Yeah, people went nuts for that.
Oh yeah, well that was sort of like self-aware, you know.
Yeah, and I think it was an introduction for a lot of pop bands to a whole new generation.
That's fair too. Whenever you read an article about like the cassette revival, they're always going to mention Guardians of the Galaxy because they put that out on a cassette and it sold like a million fucking copies. And people that aren't, you know, giant nerds that keep their nose inside of weird cultural bullshit all the time are probably like, wow, cassettes, that's wild. Whereas everybody else is like, we've been doing this for 10 years.
Right. They're like over by the water cooler. Like, hey, Jim, did you hear that they put that on a cassette? Remember those?
I have hundreds of cassettes in my closet right now.
Yikes.
Appreciating themselves each second of the day.
Well, they used to have movies where you'd have like a famous band write the entire soundtrack and perform it very much as that band would.
I think that's still a thing that happens. It's just not a big deal anymore. Do you remember There Will Be Blood? Is the bass player of Radiohead that did that soundtrack? All the
oh shit, really?
Yeah, atonal cellos and shit. Yeah,
I was talking. I had no idea. That's cool because that soundtrack's intense. I was thinking more of like the Highlander with Queen.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Here we are. Love is gonna die.
Flash Gordon.
Yeah, the Queen did that one too, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That
Flash.
maybe more to our specific demographic, the Spawn soundtrack.
I love that soundtrack.
I do too. I love the movie, even though it's a fucking piece of shit.
Oh, me too. I've seen it at least 20 times.
Same.
Oh my god, that fucking PlayStation graphics level cape he's got flowing around.
Oh man, it really is like baby's first attempt at CGI.
And it's pretty bad.
They were just like,
it was 1997.
Yeah, but at the same time, like several things had come before it that were much better. It was like, just
Jurassic
very
Park.
Yeah, still very, very bad.
I mean, it was still a comic book movie before those, you know, were popular.
That's fair. I especially like the CGI Malablogia or whatever, where he's talking and his mouth does not sync up at all with his words.
Oh yeah. Oh no.
That was pretty bad.
No. But that soundtrack, like, that had Slayer doing a song with Atari Teenage Riot. Mm-hmm. There was
Crystal Method and Filter.
Yeah, that one's probably my favorite song from that record. Marilyn Manson did a song with Sneaker Pimps.
And apparently he was horrible to work with. Like, I think Sneaker Pimps broke up after working with him.
Wow.
Amazing. It was just one of those things where they do it, they'd give it to him, he'd send it back, they'd do it, send it, like, it kept happening, and I think it, like, put a strain on them that they never fixed.
Huh. I've never heard that Marilyn Manson is an asshole. That's crazy.
Shocking, I know.
Korn was on there, Metallica was on there, Stabbing Westward, like, this is a big deal. At least for, you know, this, metal in 1997 as big as that could be, you know.
Yeah, and it was. I like that it's metal being mixed with, I guess, a lot of DJs and that sort of thing, where it made the soundtrack different. It wasn't just a song that already existed somewhere and they stuck it on. This was one of those things where the only way you could hear the song is to get the album.
Oh, really? So they would like remix the metal songs with DJs and stuff.
Yeah,
they'd either remix it or they'd work together.
Yeah,
it's
like
create
a
new song.
Collaboration.
Oh,
right, yeah.
So it was like an original, completely original song. I see.
Like the Metallica one, that was a remix because Metallica was busy with, I don't know, writing an original song for the Mission Impossible 2.
Mission Impossible 2 movie. Fuck, I remember that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
Hey.
Here I go now.
Wow. Dude, you remember in the music video where it like wasn't clips from the movie, but it was like the Metallica guys doing stunts?
Yeah. Oh my god, yeah.
Like there's like a plane that unfortunately didn't hit Lars in the desert.
Do you remember the Limp Bizkit Mission Impossible song?
I do.
Yeah, I like that one because they were playing like the original Mission Impossible theme like in between it. It's good. Real high note for those guys.
something lately. Oh my god, that sucked. But I loved it when I was like...
I know why you want to hate me.
Because hate's
the only thing that people see lately. Bounce riff.
Bounce riff plus Mission Impossible notes. Oh my god.
Do you guys remember Biker Boys, that movie?
I'm sorry, man. You were so hyped and I just so don't.
Is that the Tim Allen, John Travolta old men riding motorcycles? That's Wild Hogs.
That's Old Hogs.
That's a different movie entirely.
I've got that one on VHS.
That's on Spice.
I keep that in my cabinet, yeah.
Biker Boys was this piece of shit, like, also ran Fast and the Furious movie about, like, dudes on, you know, crotch rockets. But Metallica recorded an original song with Swizz Beatz for that one.
Oh my god,
it is,
I remember that.
Probably the worst song in the entire Metallica, like...
Holy shit, now I remember Biker Boys.
Yeah.
How does Lulu is always, like, the worst thing they've ever done, but no one ever talks about that.
Yeah, Swizz Beatz was cool as hell, though.
Lulu's really bad, don't get me wrong.
It's real bad, yeah.
But that Swizz Beatz track, wow, that's a stinker. But that just having Metallica on that soundtrack for this dog shit movie, you know... Probably saved it financially.
it's like the one bounce riff Metallica ever wrote. It was sick. Oh my god, there's so many. It's just floods of memories coming back to me. How they would just. I'm at a loss for words. There's so much shit. There's so many like bad metal / new metal that's been put in movies and been originally produced.
Well, I remember in the XXX movie with Vin Diesel, when he's, like, snowboarding down an avalanche, they have Hatebreed playing.
Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah.
My lady put on a XXX, I don't know which XXX movie, the other day. I never saw it back in the day.
Old Hogs.
Old Hogs.
It's not a very good movie. She also put on End of Days the other day. Do y'all remember that one with Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Yeah, where he's fighting the devil.
The devil, of. Yeah.
Yeah, Satan's dragging him from the church, and he's just going, like, while getting slammed into pews and stuff.
As Detective Jericho Kane.
Nice. Jericho.
Sounds like he was in the WCW circa 2001.
Yeah.
Right. He like was the Vince Russo era.
He was the TV belt holder. Yeah, that soundtrack, though, I remember one of the bad kids in one of my classes, he let me borrow the CD, had Korn on it, had Limp Bizkit, and, like, I think there was a new Guns N' Roses song on that one, new, like, you know, first one in a long time. It was a shit-ass song.
Guns N' Roses was on the Terminator 2 soundtrack.
Yeah, the whole
within the movie.
Yeah, I think it was the Use Your Illusion stuff was released, like, right around that time, right?
Yeah, I think it was
You Could Be Mine.
I think it was that song. So, in 2001, well, kind of early 2000s, Jet Li was a big deal. They made, like, a bunch of American Jet Li movies where he was just doing just general karate to everything.
Yeah, I watched a bunch of them.
Yeah, I guess this movie, The One, had a bunch of metal bands. Most notably, Drowning Pool, Disturbed, Godsmack, Papa Roach, and Linkin Park. All these guys at the same time. It's like the Holy Trinity. But every time I think about that movie, The One, I think about when I was that age, 2001, very young kid. I was like walking around a Best Buy, and the employees were like 100% sure that I pocketed something, like a video game. I had no idea why. So they were like chasing me around the store, just like getting in my face, asking me weird questions. And, like, I just kind of stopped to look at, like, Jet Li as a cutout for The One. And this guy got, like, right in my face, and he's like, hey, kind of weird that you're just, like, looking at this when there's no DVDs here on this display, huh? Why are you looking at it, huh? And I'm just like, okay.
So you karate chopped him in the neck, right?
No, I went to go leave, and as I was leaving, they must have signaled to the security guy who dropped his keys very obviously in the metal detector to make it go off as I was leaving. And then they grilled me about the fact that, well, if you didn't steal anything, why did the metal detector go off? And I'm like, because you threw your keys in it, dumbass. You don't think I know? I was way cooler when I was 12.
Did anything come of that? Did they, like, search your holes or something?
Oh, I told them to fuck off. I was like, dude, what are you going to do? You call the cops. I don't have anything. Leave me alone.
Well, they went out of business, and you're still here, so you win.
This is a Best Buy? You're still around.
I thought you said Blockbuster.
They're gonna be, though.
Yeah, they're on the way out.
My words, they're on their way out.
I bought a sound bar from Best Buy a couple of weeks ago, and it was fucking broken, so that was the first time I had been in one in many years.
whole company should go bankrupt.
Yeah, for that one experience.
That reason. Fuck them.
I believe our buddy Leaf works at Best Buy. Maybe they can't. Just his can be open. No one else.
Fire Leaf and then go out of business.
Yeah.
He should know better than to sleep with monsters.
Jet Li had a bunch of movies at the time. Like, there's like Romeo Must Die, which like had a bunch of R&B at the time.
DMX is in it.
Yeah. I really like the one with Bob Hoskins, where he was a dog. Like he was.
Yeah, he was his pet, and he would like have him fight other people.
Yeah,
like a dog fighting ring. But yeah.
That was a really bad movie. I saw it twice in the theater.
Oh yeah, I thought you were saying like literally a dog, and that made me think of another Tim Allen movie. But nope, it was like Jet Li wearing a collar, and he used him as like an animal for cage fighting and stuff.
Yeah. What other Tim Allen movie are you thinking of?
I'm thinking of the one where Tim Allen turns literally into a dog in like his later years when he stopped being popular.
Like a Shaggy Dog like remake or something?
Yeah, it was like Shaggy Dog. He was, you know, he was inside of a dog because of
Tim Allen.
That was old Hogs again.
Tim Allen loves being inside dogs. You can quote that.
Come on the show, we'll talk about it.
Tim Allen, giant dog rapist. Molest collies, that guy. Another thing about Tim Allen, which I feel like not enough people talk about, is how he only has a career right now because he's not in jail. He got popped at the airport in the 70s with like several kilos of coke on him. And he managed to work out a plea deal where he didn't serve any time because he dropped a dime on literally every person he had any dealings with. So Tim Allen, a giant snitch, in addition to being an old hog and a dog rapist.
If we're going to talk about movie soundtracks, and we probably should instead of saying that Tim Allen's a dog rapist, but I mean, there's no proof about that, is
allegedly
heavy metal, the heavy metal and heavy metal 2000 soundtracks.
Hell yeah. So we didn't, we had Dave Windorf scheduled to come on the show. Something happened where he never showed up. But I really wanted to talk about the heavy metal 2000 soundtrack. I never saw the movie, but I certainly have heard the soundtrack many times. There was a lot of cool shit on there. And so especially the first Monster Magnet song I ever heard was on their Silver Future, which is still a really badass track.
Yeah, I actually own the soundtrack. I own this one in Spawn. But this one's good because it has just a weird mixture of bands on it. Monster Magnet, KMFDM under a different name, Pantera, System of a Down, Days of the New, you know, Puya, Cold Chamber. And Insane Clown Posse with Twisted.
The Wicked Clowns with their brethren in Twisted. It was truly an occasion for all juggalos.
Real renaissance era.
We had our buddy Machine Head on there too with Alcoholocaust.
They were on so many soundtracks at this time. Like, there's also the Faust movie called Faust. It's terrible, like Italian horror movie that somehow Roadrunner Records provided all the music for it. And there's like multiple Machine Head songs, multiple Fear Factory songs, Sepultura, Junkie XL, Nail Bomb.
Huh. Nail Bomb, that's a weird one. I guess who's the Nail Bomb was half. Was that Max from Sepultura?
It was Max and from Sepultura, Soulfly, and the guy from I think Fudge Tunnel.
Fudge Tunnel, that's the one. Yeah, I knew it was something involving poop.
Shocking that Fudge Tunnel never became a household name.
Yeah. Damn shame. What was it we were talking about? The Punisher. Before we started recording. So, The Punisher, this movie that came out, not the Dolph Lundgren movie from the 80s, there was a Punisher movie in 2004, before, Marvel really, ramped up their, billion-dollar movie a year budget. But it was pretty good. Thomas Jane, I like that guy. Yeah. He played Frank Castle. They had, what was the guy's name?
John Travolta.
John Travolta, yeah, was playing some Italian mob boss that was the main enemy.
Which pro wrestler was it? That
Kevin Nash.
Kevin Nash, that's what I thought.
Yeah, he played the Russian.
Russian, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that whole movie was based off the Garth Ennis run on Punisher that really brought the character back from what it was. And, overall, it was a good Punisher movie for a wider audience. I think Punisher Warzone, which I think was in theaters for a week and then just went to DVD, was more in line with what the Punisher is as a character, as some sort of remorseless killing machine.
So when I purchased that soundbar from Best Buy, I was digging around in the $2 Blu-ray section, and I picked up Punisher Warzone because I had never seen it. It is a very bad movie.
Oh, yeah. It's bad, but I think it's more true to the character.
Fair.
We'll see.
I mean, he kills someone with a rocket launcher while they're doing parkour. Yeah, that's amazing.
That was the best part of the movie by far.
When he smashes someone's face into a wall and it breaks like pottery.
Yeah, yeah. The Urban Free Flow Gang was the name of the parkour gang.
Yes, for that movie, they had Slayer was on the soundtrack as well as Slipknot, Psychosocial, Rob Zombie, Warzone, of course.
Oh yeah. That soundtrack was a little bit harder than the first Punisher, or at least the 2000s Punisher, because that had Drowning Pool on it, if you want to step up.
And it had the Seether Evanescence song Broken that was actually on the radio.
That was a big hit.
That's right. That was a big hit.
The whole soundtrack really reads like the death of rock radio. You had Drowning Pool, Puddle of Mud, Nickelback, Queens of the Stone Age, Seether with Amy Lee, Smile
Empty... Damage Plan was on the 2004 Punisher soundtrack.
Smile Empty Soul, Trapped, Chevelle, Jerry. Seether. This was what killed rock radio, in my opinion.
What is with Evanescence and getting big hits on crappy Marvel movies?
Okay, you take that back. Spider-Man 2 was the last decent superhero movie, I think.
What are you talking about, Spider-Man 2? I'm talking about Daredevil.
Oh, crap. I forgot about that one, yeah.
Yeah, well, we talked to Nathan Gray from Boy Sets Fire about that because their band's on it.
Yeah.
The Daredevil soundtrack?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That made him some dough from a terrible, terrible movie.
He hated it. It's worth going back and listening to that interview just to hear him shit on the movie.
I can't wake up. That was a very bad movie. It was very, very bad. Ben Affleck was terrible, just like he is now.
Wasn't there an Elektra spinoff movie too?
Yes, it was. I saw the Elektra movie. Well, it was even worse.
Really?
Yeah, it's very bad.
That's never even been on TV when I was flipping through channels so I could check it out.
It's just it's been buried. Yeah, man. Marvel movies were not what they are now.
I would argue, and this is one man's take, I prefer the shitty Marvel movies to this slick Joss Whedon written shit that comes out now. I can't fuck with any of these things, man. There are lines around the block to see whatever piece of shit superhero movie comes out every week, and I just don't get it. It feels like the same movie, and if you watch one, you forget what happens 10 minutes after you watched it.
Exactly, man. We were talking about you going to Six Flags, right? A few shows ago.
Yeah.
And have you ever been to one of those really stupid action adventure stunt shows where it's Batman in a costume?
Yeah.
That's what most movies have become. They're just these 3 hour long stunt shows.
Why are they so long?
They're fucking so long. I don't know why they do that. It's like, what kind of an idiot goes to the theater anymore and fucking sits there and holds his pee for 3.5 fucking hours?
I can't get through 1 hour of this podcast holding my pee. I have to stop every
time. I know.
I don't fuck with these movies, man.
I hate how they're all serialized too.
Oh yeah,
like
because it
you
means
can't just watch them.
Yeah, but people are really into them. They're gonna keep happening until I guess people decide they've had enough. But
there's nothing coming along to replace them. This is part of the problem.
And it just sucks because we're in this weird monoculture right now where one company puts out every fucking piece of entertainment. Disney puts out several Marvel movies a year and then at least one Star Wars movie a year. And that's it. They make 10 bazillion fucking dollars. And those are the movies that people go see.
Yeah, and we fucking take it. We're like pigs waiting for the slop to go down the fucking trough for us to just sit there while we're caged in place at the slaughterhouse.
And why does Joss Whedon have to be involved in every one of these things? That guy's a fucking loser.
I don't know.
I guess because he had success with it once, so he's just the guy.
Like Bryan Singer.
Bryan Singer had success with the X-Men movies, and then he's just done a bunch more. Despite clearly hating the source material.
Who's the guy who had...
I don't know if Bryan Singer's on much anymore. I think he's kind of in a little bit of hot water for the whole molesting boys thing.
Oh, maybe. I mean, you never know these days. You know, you got to listen to both sides, man.
Maybe he'll join Inquisition.
What's his name? Zack Snyder on the other end of things. He made one really cool movie and then tried to make 40 more movies in that style and they've all been trash.
How would you describe that style? Like grim, dark or something like that?
It's like if you have, it's like a noir comic sort of onomatopoeias flying across the screen, dumb bullshit where you got like a slow motion CGI karate chop coming in your face every 10 seconds.
We touched on this a little bit with Jason of Nequient, but Zack Snyder and the collaborations with who's that comic book dork that always wears a fedora?
Frank Miller.
Frank Miller, yeah. Just you're in for like just a slog.
I actually liked Watchmen like as a movie. I'm the one person that did.
I thought it was okay. It was all right.
Yeah, but. I thought it was probably one of the more true to form comic book movies ever made, really. I mean, obviously they had to do some things different because when you know, cinema is a different medium than comics are, despite Marvel fans telling me otherwise every day. But I thought the movie was really true to form. I think it kind of did panel to panel a lot of justice to the original content, but everybody hated it for the little changes, I think.
I mean, like, I had never read the... I had read, I think, the first issue of the comic before, and that was years before I watched the movie. I never really followed that one, so... I didn't like it because I didn't think it was a very good movie.
Yeah, no. Well, maybe that's why it wasn't very good, because it was kind of like a panel, movie recreation of just about everything that happened in the book. Did that have any sort of soundtrack that was... I don't think so. I think a lot of it was like 60s music, like Jimi Hendrix and stuff.
Bob Dylan for that big opening scene.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, it really could have used some Finger 11. I think that would have
some drowning pushed it along. Yeah. it needed an Evanescence hit. That's where it failed.
I guess my beef with these big superhero movies now is that there's not enough new metal. Once they bring back the new metal, I'll start watching them again.
Hey, Trapped isn't doing anything. I'm sure they'd be happy to jump on that train.
Yeah, seriously. Whoever that guy is that stole all that shit from Guitar Center, he's going to need a new gig soon.
American Head Charge?
Yeah.
For other movies, we could also talk about the Resident Evil soundtrack.
I don't remember it. What was on there?
You had Slipknot with My Plague. They had a video for that. There was Killswitch Engage.
For the had sequel, the song. Yeah.
Yeah. The End of Heartache.
Huh.
Do you guys remember Underworld?
I remember the movie, but I don't remember the soundtrack.
Well, the movie, for those who don't remember, it was pretty much The Matrix with vampires. Like, think long coats and double guns.
And also, everything's dark.
Aren't there like 5 sequels to that?
Yeah, there's so many.
Yeah, there's several. The Dillinger Escape Plan was on the first soundtrack.
Wild.
Huh. Yeah. And so was A Perfect Circle. And they had a bunch of weird ones. Like, you know, you got... Oh, Amy Lee was there too. Here she shows her face again. Let's make a movie, everybody.
I think I remember the Matrix soundtrack being pretty dope too.
Yeah,
that had like Rage Against the Machine on it, and
Ministry was on it.
Ministry, yeah. There's a bunch of, I think Crystal Method was on it. Crystal Method was everywhere in the late '90s. I don't know what happened to them since.
There was Freddy versus Jason soundtrack.
What was on there?
El Nino, Killswitch Engage, Spine Shank, Mushroom Head, Hatebreed, Slipknot, Chimera, From Autumn to Ashes, Seven Dust, Powerman 5000, Murder Doll, Seether, Stone Sour, Devil Driver, Sepultura featuring Mike Patton, The Blank Theory, Nothing Face, In Flames, Lamb of God, and Typo Negative.
One thing I find very interesting about soundtracks is that 90% of these songs aren't anywhere in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They just put them on the soundtrack because I guess it's... And it's not like these songs are written for the movie. They're just, I don't know, reminiscent of the film's theme, I suppose.
Or they just have a deal with a record company.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. And, you know, you have, like, your marketing synergy is that way. Like, hey, Power Man 5000 fans, we're on the soundtrack. Go see the movie.
Right. But, I mean, if you got a movie like The Matrix, I'm sure there has to be some sort of creative thought that goes into putting, like, a remix of Dracula somewhere on the soundtrack for that film.
I think it's Rob Zombie is popular, and if we remix it, people will buy it because it's a quote-unquote new song, and maybe we don't have to pay him as much or his record label because it's different.
I guess you don't think that there's any deeper meaning to it, though? You don't think that, okay, let's go through and try to hand-select songs that match the film's theme?
No, I really don't. I don't think that there's that much work put into it.
In 2003, they remade the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
I saw it.
And I saw it too. There is every time I think of that movie, I think about the dude getting dragged down the basement, and when he tries to save himself, he like scratches the wall, and all his fingernails pop off.
Yeah,
that's a cool fucking scene. So that has some pretty big name, but interesting names, I guess I should say, on the soundtrack. We got some usual new metal staples. We got Mushroom Head, Static X, and Hatebreed's on there. But then we have Shadows Fall and Meshuggah and Lamb of God on the Texas Chainsaw Massacre 03 soundtrack.
It seems like there's a lot of the usual suspects floating around with all of these soundtracks, you know?
I noticed that. Yeah, Static X is very popular among these films.
Now, Mushroom Head overrepresented in all of these.
I think they were on like Universal Records or something like that.
Yeah.
Which might explain why they show up on these movies, which might be like Universal Pictures.
Mushroom Head is overrepresented in life.
All right. Are you guys ready for a hot take? Because I think I've been formulating it here. I think I've got the hot take together.
Okay.
This new era of big superhero movies is killing metal, because previously there was like a welfare program. If you released a shitty superhero movie or a shitty horror movie, you're going to have an adequate representation of mid-level metal bands on the soundtracks, but there's not that anymore. So therefore, the food is being taken out of the mouths of these hungry C-level metal bands because Marvel is refusing to put them on the soundtracks.
I think the money is instead going to giant mutant cyborg trombone players who just blare their trumpet every time the trailer goes dark and transitions to a different scene.
Yeah.
Well, it's either that or a like wispy acoustic cover of a popular song, or
is familiar faces. God, the worst thing to happen to music.
Or what they also do is they'll have period specific movies with like modern songs on it. Like, what was the movie that just happened? Like the Orient Express.
Oh, yeah.
Murder on the Orient Express. Is that it?
Yeah.
They had for the trailers. Fuck. What's their name? The Welcome to the New Age. That band.
I'm gonna guess Imagine Dragons.
I feel it in my bones. Welcome to the new that
it's
band.
It's fucking they had, Imagine Dragons.
Yeah, Imagine. They had Imagine Dragons song for a movie about being on a train.
Yeah.
A hot take that I saw recently discussed on the internet. A hot take was that Imagine Dragons is far worse than Nickelback ever was.
I know what Nickelback sounds like. I don't know what Imagine Dragons sounds like. If you tell me a track
Welcome
is Imagine,
to the new age.
I mean,
to the new age.
I've heard that song, but like I don't know what they don't have a distinctive sound in my mind at all. You know, it's just a thing that's on every popular media.
Well, if you if you roll around with enough radio and you hear enough Imagine Dragons songs, which is three of them, then you'll put it together and know that they're a terrible band.
Yeah,
or if you could call them a band, I don't know what the fuck that is.
Well, I think with Nickelback, at least they like used to be a somewhat hard rock band before they just went, oh, we could just do this stupid shit and people will buy it anyway.
I'm telling you right now, man, get your take nice and hot and ready. The song Photograph is better than any Imagine Dragons song.
I'll agree with that.
Sure. But I think Imagine Dragons, with them, they came about, there was a few years ago, a Spider-Man Broadway show.
Oh, Turn Off the Dark. Didn't that kill a bunch of cast members?
Yeah. They provided a soundtrack for it. That song Radioactive, I think, was for that play.
I could have sworn that it was U2 that did the soundtrack for that thing.
I think that's what happened. Oh. I think Imagine Dragons like was originally contracted or put together, whatever, to do music for that. They went with U2 instead because, like, I don't know, why not? And Imagine Dragons just went, well, we have all these songs, let's put it out there. That's why their first song was Radioactive, because Spider-Man.
And now they're like the new U2.
Yeah. It seems like a lot of bands just are successful due to inertia. Like, why the fuck would you hire U2 to do anything in this day and age? Like, inertia. People are like, yeah, well, I mean, they're a big name. Let's just do that then.
It's out like of the, touch people who think they're still popular when they haven't been popular for 20 years.
Right. You have some people who are making the big decisions in terms of major media these days who, like Jordan said, are totally out of touch. I mean, just watch the Grammys and you'll know what I mean.
So
as far as like who gets best album or anything else.
I'm thinking about like the soundtrack to, what was it? Suicide Squad. You remember?
Oh, right.
With Jared Leto being wicked, twisted, insane clown.
Very bad movie.
I love that they cut him out of almost the entire movie.
Yeah same. But like the soundtrack to that was like
Ballroom Blitz.
Yeah, they were. It was basically the Guardians of the Galaxy tack of like basically just choosing huge popular songs from different eras that like. You'll get a reaction out of like Bohemian Rhapsody, Seven Nation Army, Spirit in the Sky. Like Spirit in the Sky, that song's been like used so many times I never want to fucking hear it again. Sympathy for the Devil, House of the Rising Sun. Like these are just like baby's first classic rock collection, you know?
Yeah, it's just a blanket appeal. Like it's easy to pick one of those songs because a majority of people seeing the movie will know it and have at least some sort of reaction or tap their foot, or they'll be able to connect the song to the movie and hopefully they'll end up liking it.
Yeah. So I guess whereas in the 90s and 2000s, folks were putting these metal bands on the soundtrack because they figured it would at least appeal to that specific subgenre of audience. Now that the budgets are so goddamn big, you can just put a giant song on there in the hope that like people for some reason are like, yeah, I like, I guess the Rolling Stones, this one song that I've heard, I'll pick up the soundtrack.
I remember who the real Slim Shady is.
I just can't imagine that there's any sort of a market for like movie soundtracks anymore. Like with the way things are right now, I'm sure it brings in the crowd if you have that kind of a connection and that kind of a song in a trailer or in the film itself.
It's all about the trailer. And like you were saying, another big thing to do is like do a slow acoustic piano only version.
I hate
of like
it so much.
Fucking like like you said, it the first, I guess, big example of that was that Tears for Fears cover in Donnie Darko. Mad World, that's the song was. But now it's used in the trailer for every single movie. Not necessarily that song, but somebody doing a slow acoustic version of a popular pop song and making it just unnecessarily dramatic. Are we just particularly crotchety, or is this not deeply annoying to everyone else?
No. I think that we're just a bit outside of, I don't know. I don't know what it's really like. I don't know what it's like to be inside the head of someone who kind of exists within the mainstream of life and just totally enjoy the radio and totally enjoy comic book films and just eat it all up without really questioning for a moment whether it's really doing anything or enriching them in any way.
I feel like we would be a lot happier if we were those people.
I know for a fact we would be. We would end up in a government run nursing home, surrounded by our loved ones arguing over what sort of money they were going to take from our corpse, and we wouldn't die young like we will now from the stress of everyday life.
Sweet. I can picture it now, like hanging out in the nursing home and having a nice orderly push my wheelchair into a van and then taking me into the big city so that I could see Avengers Age of Dildron, the 90th Avengers movie to come out that year.
X-Men 46, still starring Hugh Jackman.
Avengers Old Hogs.
Great callback, man. That's why we have you here.
I don't think I have much left for this episode. We went way over, so I'll edit out some of the dumber things.
Stop watching shitty movies, and that's, I mean, I guess try to not forget Drowning Pool.
Yeah. If anything we said here made you mad, please call me and leave me a voicemail and correct me. The phone number is beneath this audio player.
Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Toilet of Hell, at Joe Thrashenkill, at 365 Days of Horror, at That's Not Metal. You can always send us an email at toiletofhellradio@gmail.com, and be sure to like us on Facebook.
Love you. Bye, everybody.
Keep it metal.
Bye. You thought it was over. Just when you thought we were done. Just when you thought it was safe, man, we did it again. Just when you thought it was over. Just when you thought we were done. Just when you thought it was safe, man, we did it again. I love dance calls, fast broads, 'cause I'm a rock star, baby. Born in the USA, I'ma hit the highway. Hold my Harley, do about 30. Blowing L's, taking it easy. Any woman that won't please me, I give her up. Everything you touch a room, man, give it up. And I know y'all are saying, damn, he did it again. You thought it was over. Just when you thought we were done. Just when you thought it was safe, man, we did it again. Just when you thought it was over. Just when you thought we were done. Just when you thought it was safe, man, we did it again. Who loves a little rock and roll mixed with a little bit of hip hop soul? We do. Then come on and rock steady, keep your pockets heavy and say we did it. The air you're breathing. Have a bad work week with a freaky weekend. No matter what you spend, 'cause you're living it up. And damn if we don't do it again. Come on in, baby, bring some friends. We having a party tonight. I'll bring the juice, the juice.
pushing the weed to hit Swiss. We did it again. You thought it was over, just when you thought we were done.
Rip that smile right off your face.
Just when you thought it was over, just when you thought we were done.
Rip that smile right off your face.
Best girls, best bros, I'm a rock star, baby. Born in the USA. You thought we were done. Just when you thought it was safe, man, we did it.